In this week's parsha, we learn about the interactions between Avraham and his faithful servant, Eliezer. And we find some very strong words that are exchanged from Avraham towards Eliezer. When he's sending Eliezer to go find the shidduch for his daughter, so the pasuk says that Eliezer says, maybe she won't want to come with me. Perichav Dalet Pasuk Lamates. And Rashi points out that the word ulai normally would be spelled Aleph Vav Lamed Yud ulai, but there's no Vav there. So it shares the same letters as Eli, to me. And Rashi explains that Eliezer had a daughter who he was really hoping Avraham would want his son to marry, and therefore on some level was hoping that this whole thing will never work out, this mission won't come into fruition, so that the son could come Eli, could marry into me. And Rashi explains, says that, what did Avraham say to him? Amar lo Avraham, Bini, Baruch v'ata Arur, my son is blessed, you're cursed. And the cursed ones cannot connect with the blessed ones. And you can imagine nowadays, like a shidduch, two families are looking into each other, and they don't think it's fitting, so you just like wiggle out. You don't explain why. You don't just look. We're cursed. You're blessed. It's just not going to work. You know, it's not okay. Anyway, that's how Avram said it. We're blessed. You're cursed, and I can't go ahead and marry. Very, very sharp statement to Eliezer. We also find, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia and Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, that on the third day of the Bris Milah of Avram Avinu, so Avram wanted to have guests, and Hashem didn't want to bother Avraham with having to host any guests, so therefore he went ahead and he brought out the sun, so it was boiling hot, no one was traveling, no one was coming, so Eliezer went out to go try to find some guests. He went out, didn't find anyone. He came back to Avram. He said, there's no one around, no guests. And Avram said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. The rule is, you don't believe your Eved. And therefore, Avram went ahead to go ahead and look for his own guests. Which is a little bit funny. More than funny. Eliezer was a great giant of a person. Okay, the Gemara, the Pasuk says earlier, Perek Yedalet, Pasuk Yedalet, last week's Parsha, that when Avram was going to fight the kings, he's going to fight the kings, so he needed people to help him. The Medrash says, he asked, who has no chataim? Anyone here have no sins? And everyone one by one, all the people that he was makariv started to fall out. He was left with one person, Eliezer. Pasuk says he brought 318 men. Rashi brings an opinion, really just Eliezer, the gematria of Eliezer's name. He went alone, and he had this chus. Hashem gave him the power, Eliezer the power, to go ahead and take on these world nations and go ahead and destroy them. Eliezer was a very, very special person. The Pasuk says in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Beis, called Damesek Eliezer. Rashi says the word Damesek is really a shortened version of the words Dole Umashke. That Eliezer would dole, he'd bring out the water, he'd raise up the water, meaning he would take the Torah from Avraham and Umashke, and then he'd water it out. So he would learn from his Rebbe and go ahead and spread the Torah that he received from Avraham. So this is like the best student that anyone could ever have. Everything he takes from the Rebbe, and then he goes out and gives it forward. Eliezer was a giant of a giant. The Derech Eretz Zuta brings Eliezer as one of the people that went straight up to Gan Eden and never died. So we're talking about a high level person, a high to the high. What does it mean over here that when Eliezer went to go find the guest, so Avram says, I don't really trust you. And when it comes to the shidduch, Avram says, look, I'm Baruch, you're Arur, you're cursed. We can't go ahead and make a shidduch together. Something doesn't sound right over here. The Ran says in his drushos, a very famous drush, hey, number 5. Now, translated into English by Art Scroll, there are zero excuses for anyone not to read this. Says the Ran. The Ran says that there are two different types of midos, of forms of character traits that exist by a person. There are some that are more philosophical. Do you believe in Hashem? Do you not believe in Hashem? What's your world outlook? Then there are some that are more really inborn character traits. A person could be lazy. A person could get angry. A person could be generous. Right? They're different character traits. So there's those that are in the seichel, in the mind, and then there are those more in the behavior, more internal types of character traits. The Ran says that those philosophical types of outlooks can really be changed, and they don't go down from generation to generation. Just because someone's father believed X does not mean that his child's going to believe in X, because he might go to a different school, he might have a different exposure, he might go ahead and be influenced or inspired in different ways, and it could happen that one person could have an outlook and his child could have a different outlook. Possible. However, the Ram says, when it comes to character traits, those naturally get passed down from father to son. It's somewhat in the DNA of the person. Therefore, says the Ran, why was it that Avram had to send Eliezer to go far away to go find a wife for his daughter? He could have just stayed in Canaan and find a person, a local. Have him for Shabbos more often. It would be much, much more simple, right? Why did he have to go out? What was wrong with Canaan? So he explains, because in Canaan, the people had bad midos. Their character traits were flawed in a significant way. And to marry someone with those types of traits would mean that the chances are it would pass down to the following generations. Avram knew that he was to build, through this child, the future of the world. And he wanted it to be the finest of the fine coming down. How about by Lavan and Besuel? They were pretty big Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They worshipped idols. They weren't exactly from the greatest of the tzaddikim. That's okay. Because that's philosophical. And that, just like Avram was changing everyone else's minds, he could work on that also, right? He could go ahead and be makariv, the seichel, he could be makariv, the thought, he could change people's outlooks. And therefore, it was better that she would marry someone from his own family, elsewhere, that were maybe even worshipping Avodah Zarah, but they had better midos, better character traits, than to marry the people within Canaan. Eliezer was from the locals. He was from those people, and therefore, in order not to have those character traits within the DNA, he didn't want to marry into Eliezer's family. Which means, just to take a step back for a moment, even though Eliezer was Dola Umashka, he soaked up everything from his Rebbe and passed it down to his students or to other people, it didn't penetrate within. He took and poured, almost like bypassing his own self. He didn't allow himself to go ahead and change through that which he was experiencing. Everyone could change their midos. No one should ever say, "Oh, this is the way I was born, done." We all could change, we all could grow, we all could work on ourselves. But we have to work at it. It has to be, it's not something that's automatic. We can have people, unfortunately, that know a lot of Torah, they have a lot of information, but their behavior stinks. There's no reflection. You would never know that such a person is learning the Holy Torah by the way they speak and the way they act and the way they fight and they argue. And they just don't go together. Because it's not automatic. A person has to work on his midos. He has to try to work to change. So again, we're talking about Eliezer on his very, very high level over here. But Eliezer, it did not change as much to the extent that we find that he had a bias. That Eliezer hoped that, you know, maybe things won't work out, he said to Avram, because he was hoping that his own daughter would get to marry into Avram's family. There was a certain bias within Avram's character traits. Now the Medrash tells us in the Bereishis Rabbah, Samach Zayin, 60, number 7, he says that changed because through Eliezer's entire experience, that again, even though, just remember this, he was sent on a mission and he really hoped the mission would fail because then maybe he could marry his daughter. But he pushed and he pushed and he worked hard to make sure that it would work, even though it was against his grain, even though it naturally was difficult. And we saw the bias come out right away in that initial interaction with Avram, but still Eliezer pushed and pushed and pushed and was successful. He went against his grain, he went against maybe what was in his DNA, Because this was the right thing. He was an Eved Ne'eman. He was a truthful slave to Avram Avinu. And the Medrash says that because of that, he ended up elevating himself above to where he was before. And that's why he merited to go into Gan Eden whole, without dying. Because Eliezer was able to break the grain, he was able to break those midos, even though that's extremely difficult thing to do, to bring him to a higher place. So we see from here that the initial shidduch, we'll say, between Avraham and to get Rivka for Yitzchak was all about the midos. It didn't matter so much about the outward hishkafa, where they fell on the political spectrum. You know, it was all about who they were. About who they were inside. Unfortunately, this gets totally lost nowadays when people are looking for shidduch saying to marry someone that does avodah zarah. Do not try this at home. But we should at least appreciate what's real. What really matters. You know, this past Pesach, my family was in America, and we had the schus of visiting with Rav Yerucha Molshin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood. And my family was there for a long time. Baruch Hashem, we had an opportunity on Chol HaMoed to sit with them with him for a long time. Rebbetzin was also there. Sat with them for a long time. Okay. After we all walked out, my brothers, the sons, everyone, we walked out, so I went back in. And I asked, I said, you know, my daughter is starting to shiduchim after we get back to Eretz Yisrael and Pesach, and can I have a bracha? So, okay, he gave a bracha, and he said, this is what the Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva used to tell people. He said, there are three things you should look for in a shidduch. Three things. This is really exciting. I'm getting like private hadrach over here. Three things you should look for in a shidduch. One, midos. Person's character traits. Two, midos. And three, midos. And that was it. Good yontif, bye-bye. That was the message that he said. That is what we're trying to look for. That's what we're trying to understand. But not everyone in this room is necessarily looking for a shidduch. Some of them are married. So what does this mean for us? Or some of us, it's going to be in a while, so it's not really on the table. What does it mean? The answer, what it means to us is that this is what we have to be working on. We always have to be working on our midos. We should never, ever, ever think that I'm learning all day long and I'm working hard and I'm davening, etc. But we're not spending significant time on working on our character traits. Every person, forever, you never stop. We always have to be working on ourselves. We always have to try to figure out one area. Don't take everything and say, I got to work on everything. That's an impossibility. We always have to look for one thing that I specifically need to work on and then try to work on it. Sometimes you can work on it together with someone else. Someone means sometimes reading a sefer. Remember, someone came into my office once. He said, I have an emergency. I said, what's your emergency? He said, I know that there's a book called Erech HaPayim. It's a book, a Musar book on anger. He said, I need it right now. He was very very anxious. He said, I got to work on this right now. I have an anger problem. Okay, now they translate into English also, so there's no more excuses. So there's what to work on. And we all know we have something that we work on. That's part of growth. It never ends. No one could say there's nothing that we have to work on. If we do, then we're blinded, which is something we have to work on. So there's something we always have to work on to try to figure out, what is it? What is it that I could grow in? And we can't just say, oh, well, I'm in yeshiva, and I'm davening, I come to everything, and I'm learning, and everything's going to take care of itself. That's not how it works. And when we get into more difficult situations, whether it's relationships, or business, or whatever it is, and we start getting challenged in every fashion, on our midos, all of a sudden, it starts to explode, and we can't control something. We don't even know what to do with ourselves, and then we're stuck. So we always have to make sure that this is front and center in our mind, how we could work on ourselves, how we could grow, and how we can change. Eliezer did that. It wasn't so easy. He wanted a different outcome. He wished that Yitzchak would marry his own daughter. He's probably thinking about it for years, and he even expressed it in a hidden way, without the vav, when he was talking to Avram. But that wasn't the case, because at that point it was Arur. It wasn't where it was supposed to be. Eliezer pushed forward and pushed and pushed and pushed, and he was able to elevate himself. The areas that we're born in with, that we need to work on, is our tikkun. It's our tikkun. It's the reason we're in this world. Why do I have to struggle with this and you have to struggle with that? Because we are in the world specifically to go ahead and work on that midah. It's the reason that we're here. It's an opportunity. It's not something that should bring us down, not something that should make us depressed. How come I have to work in this? And he's able to get up early in the morning. I can't do that. And everyone has their thing. And we're all put here to work on that. It's a tremendous opportunity to go ahead and do it. And when we get through it, the amount of growth that we're able to experience is enormous. The bracha to all of us is that we always remember that we have our midos to work on. We should all be able to figure out which midos we should prioritize to work on. And Bezrat Hashem, through that, we'll all be able to achieve our life's mission and to be the most successful people with all the bracha, the baruch, that we all deserve. Shavua Tov.